Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Scrolling during the break, Hoff, did you see this? Because this is highly disturbing here. We need to get to this. And then yesterday, did you see yesterday with Alonzo, who I thought came across as very likable on with Evan and Tiki, but they actually brought up Lugie's ridiculous point about the lineup, and Alonzo's face was priceless when he's like, dude, are you, he didn't say it, but he's basically, are you
an
idiot?
They can barely speak.
Yeah, I know. Come on. He's like, come on, dude, such an idiot. Yeah. Did you see this post by Marash?
I just saw it now.
He posts on Twitter about shaving his nipple. He's got a Peppa Pig Band-Aid covering his nipple. Like, dude, nobody needs to see that. What are we doing here?
Let's see. Yeah, 13 minutes ago. What they don't tell you when you have kids is that you're going to go through some lean years where you just can't have normal Band-Aids in the house. That is true. I get that part. I cut my nipple shaving this morning.
Disgusting.
First of all, I cut my nipple shaving this morning, and now I have to deal with this all day. Yeah, and he's got a Peppa Pig thing.
It's disgusting.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, if you got to keep the chest hair tight, which, by the way, a lot of us do. I mean, summer, I get it. You don't use a straight edge.
I mean, come on, dude.
You buzzer.
Use a buzzer.
That's disturbing.
Anyway, all right, BT and Sal on the fan. Couldn't get past that. BT and Sal on the fan. You know, I do think overall, BT, you can point to some negatives. And like I said, a big negative with this 10-game stretch is that the Mets had a chance. The number one goal for me, obviously outside of winning as many games as possible, it wasn't even beat the Phillies and remain in first place. It was bury the Braves. You had an opportunity to kill the Braves off. If they were 12, 13, 14 games back, whatever it was after the stretch, they would have been officially done. They're not. They have enough life to where you can't say you killed them off yet. They didn't do that job. But overall, considering where we were in the midst of that run, with all the injuries that the Mets have taken on, with all the roster moves that they've had to make, whether it's lineup, whether it's bullpen, whether it's starting rotation, the fact that they survived that brutal stretch, came out and salvaged the final two games to split the series with the Braves, are in first place and 10 games up. I think all things considered, you have to be happy with that.
I don't disagree, but we can't just ignore what the expectations were as well. The Mets were supposed to be a top three, top four team in baseball. The preseason odds in terms of World Series odds reflected that. The payroll reflects that. The recruitment and signing of Juan Soto there certainly reflects that. Their accomplishments a year ago, you know, getting to the NLCS reflects that here. So this is not, listen, this is the one thing, and I joke around, I say, hey, the crown's heavy, but the Mets are no longer the small little teeny tiny engine that could. You know, the Mets are trying to morph into one of the big badasses on the block here. And I certainly give them credit. I certainly, the first segment, if you guys missed anything, free Odyssey app, we got into it. I think the Mets have done a good job of navigating an abundance of injuries and real, you know, physical misfortune. But that should not obscure the fact that they're supposed to be good. Let's not forget about
that. Right, but they took, and look, it's not like I'm getting soft here. 3-7 over those 10 games it's brutal. But if you factor in everything and also consider how bad it could have been, if they would have lost one more of those games from Atlanta, then I think we'd be talking disaster territory, and I don't think we'd be having the same tone today. And I'm not giving them a round of applause for winning just two games against the Braves, but at least they save face, and maybe less to their credit and more about what's going on around them, it's not like Atlanta or Philadelphia took advantage of the opportunity and gained significant ground on the Mets. Like, if you're the Phillies, you got to be thinking, God, we just missed a golden opportunity to further bury the Mets. The Mets, you know, they lost, what, 10 of 11, whatever it was right there.
Yeah, 10 of 11.
Yeah, and they're ravaged by injury. Braves themselves thinking, oh, we beat them the first five here. If we could really capitalize and get another, you know, at least game from them, be a nice chunk that we shaved off that 13-game deficit. And instead, as bad as it looked, as bad as it felt, even getting swept, even losing the first five, even losing 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia, they still are 10 games up on the Braves and still in front of the Phillies.
Again, that's why I say good job. And I'm just trying to make sure we don't lose complete perspective here. The Mets were supposed to be good, and they are. How good, we'll find out. But I tell you, in baseball, and it's probably easier to identify in the other sports, and I think I say that a lot, baseball is just a tricky evaluation. Because a lot of times when a team's not going well, especially from a hitting perspective, there's a thought like a lack of engagement. You know, you just look, you look out of it when you're in a 1-for-20 funk, and you can still be, you know, grinding behind the scenes, but the results aren't there, and it just seems different. There's very few character wins, I think, in baseball over the course of a long season. I think one was last night for the Mets.
Yeah.
That was a character win because, you know, they won the night before. If they would have lost last night, the night before, at least in terms of how they play against the Braves, kind of becomes a bit of an outlier. And then last night, Cannon goes down, you know, unsuspected. The bullpen's got to step in, what, six and a third innings they gave? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Whatever the bullpen, it was a lot. So to back up the previous night's win on Wednesday with unforeseen circumstances, with your pitcher going down for the year, it's a character win, so no doubt.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Vinny's on Staten Island. What's up, Vin?
Hey, Vin.
Hey, guys, what's going on? So basically, I was looking at the standings with the wild card, and everybody is close. It's very hard to predict, like, what team could be in it, what team could be out, what team could go for it. But I'm going at the players, like, with teams that are not struggling. I would look at Brian Reynolds from Pittsburgh. That could be an option. Go back to St. Louis to look at Hensley, the closer from St. Louis. Maybe, I don't know, see if St. Louis would eat some money on Arenado. I don't know about Ryan McMahon because coming out of Colorado, I don't know how good of a play he will be outside of Colorado. I don't know what his splits are away from Colorado, but if he's a third base option,
I want no part of McCann.
And I don't want no part of anybody from Colorado. That's the whole point I'm trying to make because you look at Arenado. He's still a good defensive third baseman, but he hasn't been the same hitter after leaving Colorado. I heard the White Sox are possibly looking at trading Luis Roberts. You just got to see and feel out there because, I mean, listen, if I was Arizona, yeah, you're only 3.5 out of the wild card, but, you know, you could be out of it by a week. You don't have Suarez for a week.
Yep.
So those are options. Those are teams that I really should be looking at.
There's a lot of options. Thanks for the call there, Vince. See, and this to me is a big advantage for the Mets here. That's why what I...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Said the first segment here about, all right, this is what you wanted here, Cohen, the checkbook and the ability to do things you very rarely did in the past in terms of just, I won't say buying players, but, you know, playing by a little bit of a different set of rules like the Yankees, like the Dodgers, monetarily speaking. So because there are names out there, and I know you don't like McMahon, I get it, Robert, you know, strikeout machine.
Wouldn't want him either.
I know, but you could at least kick the tires on a guy like that because there's money attached to it without having to give up real prospects.
Well, that's where the Mets should be playing ahead of everybody else. They have a major advantage going into this trade deadline in that Steve Cohen. I mean, the guy is showing he's willing to pay guys to go away to get prospects. Now they need to do the opposite. Take on salaries that teams are looking to get out from under, whether it's Arizona saying, hey, you know what, we're okay, but we'd rather not have these contracts on our books, whoever it may be. Because you do look at it, there are only a handful of teams that are definitively out of it. And you want to tell me the Twins and Royals are going to be sellers? Okay, I mean, that's fair. Now you're adding significantly more. The Red Sox, many more in the American League than there are in the National League. National League, are the Braves going to definitively be sellers? And if they
No, I think the Braves still find a way to make this interesting. I'm not giving up on them.
And if they were, are they really going to deal with the Mets?
No.
Okay, so forget the Braves. So you got the Marlins, Nationals, Pirates, Rockies as the clear. They're all under 500. The Diamondbacks, like, they're over 500. Red, same thing. Cardinals, same thing. I would assume those teams are going to go for it. But it doesn't mean that they wouldn't want to shed some salary.
Yeah.
And then in the American League, you have a bunch of teams. You know, if you're counting the Red Sox under 500, Rangers also under 500, there's a litany of teams in the American League that might, in fact, be sellers. Point is, the Mets are in a position of power to take on salary.
That's my point. A couple years ago, Cohen bought basically a minor league system. Now, we haven't really seen the fruits yet of that minor league system, but that's what he did. And we said, wow, that's a very unique way of getting some young players in here for an organization who didn't have a lot of intriguing young players. Well, now it's your opportunity to buy two or three spots that I certainly think they need to address. The Reynolds thing, though, and I think, you know, he's not old. He's not great. He's got nothing around him, so he's probably sick of hitting in that horrendous lineup. And the money's not awful, but there's a lot of length attached to it. Remember, he signed the contract a couple of years ago. He's still under, so 2026, 2027, 2028, 2029, 2030. Now it's 14 and 15 million, kind of like DJ LeMahieu, but that's after this year. You're talking 5 years of committing to Brian Reynolds.
Also doesn't play center field, which would be my biggest issue
with
that.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, at least according to what I'm looking at in the depth chart here with the Pirates. They have him listed as he could play center, and he has, but he's not going to be the primary center fielder, which is not something that I would want. The Mets need specifically a center fielder. That's what they need, because you're not moving Juan Soto, obviously, and Nimmo can't really play center at this point. He can't play it well. So if you're going to go out there and get an outfielder, you might as well get a real center fielder who could give you the plus defense and a great bat, or a very good bat. That's what you're looking for to upgrade in that spot. Ray's in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. You know, I want to make two quick points on the Mets. Number one, they did what they had to do against Atlanta. They shoved them at arm's length. They had to win those two. And you know who set the tone on this? Holmes, on the very first pitch,
yeah.
A new Met.
I loved
and
it.
And Soto's cockiness.
Yeah.
He brushed back Acuna, and it seemed like it turned the Mets into monsters again.
Yeah, and by the way, McNeil robbed the home run. Listen, I loved what Holmes did. I loved it.
Yeah. Now, like you guys say, go get what you need. It's World Series time now. Get what you need.
Bring
Severino back.
Yeah.
You know, he can handle it.
They need a
solid. I mean, I'd rather have somebody better, but.
Well, I'd go solid on there, Ray, and thank you for the call. I don't know if they need somebody. Obviously, you want somebody better, but remember, you're going to need multiple areas to reinforce this team. You only get one shot to do that for the next month to figure out what you're going to need. I do think they're going to end up needing another arm, but more for depth as opposed to top high-end quality. They have that with Manaea and Senga, assuming those guys come back. And look, if something doesn't happen, if one of those guys gets hurt, it is what it is. Like, nothing you can do for it. They can't go out there and get Max Fried. You're not going to give him $218 million like the Yankees did as insurance for Gerrit Cole, and it worked out perfectly. Can't do it. If something happens with your top guys, you're going to have to figure out a way to overcome it. That's why I want more balance. I would take another arm, a quality arm, but more of a depth arm as opposed to an ace, assuming that Skeens or whatever, a true ace is not available at a decent cost. And then I would want them to round out the roster. I want the best bullpen arm available to have, let's say, Chapman, Diaz, boom, 8-9. That will be lethal in the postseason, not to mention there are other arms that could lengthen out. You know, you get a starter that gives you 5 or 6.
Really coming back.
Whatever.
No, I got you. I'm with you. You're talking about stars, yeah.
I'm saying if you get one lethal arm to pair with Diaz for 8-9,
mm-hmm.
that shortens the game. Now you have 7 innings to get through. Assuming your starters can give you a quality 5 or 6, you know, in the postseason, you get 5 from them, you feel like you want to get out, okay, boom. Then you should have enough arms from the rest of the bunch to cover 2 innings.
And that has become the recipe for postseason baseball outside of, you know, an occasional outlier. I mean, it's a lot of bullpen traction, man. You better have the arms down there. Listen, here's the bottom line for me. I think there's probably, you know, I don't know for sure, but I would have to say maybe a 2-year window where all these, the key components are back. I don't think that Pete's here in a couple of years. Obviously, Lindor will be here. Diaz could be gone in a couple of years. You know, what's Nimmo like in a couple of years? You got to take your swing now and worry about tomorrow. There is a potential tomorrow. Worry about tomorrow,
yeah.
Tomorrow. There is a potential World Series to be won. There is at least a potential World Series to get to. And you're going to be a playoff team. You might not win the division, but you've got enough components where if you don't go all in, to me, that's unacceptable.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.